baby. How many of you have children? How many people have children? Have you ever wondered, when you think about your children, why did I do that? Anyone ever wondered that? I was thinking as I was offering a service today, and it's interesting the kinds of thoughts that run through my head sometimes. I was thinking about my son, and why did we decide to have one of those? And the reason is, speaking for me anyway, I love what I have. I love my life. I enjoy growing up. I enjoy going to school. I enjoy most things in the world. And I wanted to create somebody else to have those kinds of things. I wanted to love another entity. I want to watch another entity grow up. I certainly did not want to have a child so that he can fail. My plan, my goal for him is not to see him sad. My goal is to see him happy. My goal is to see him successful. My goal is to see him enjoy life, to have an enjoyable life, the way that I have an enjoyable life. Now, think about that question. Why did you have children? And hopefully your answer mirrors what my answer about why I had a child. How many people is that true for, essentially? Anybody that's not true for? That's good. Now, why did God create us? If you want to understand why did God create us, all you got to do is think, why did I create a child? God created us because he wanted us to be like him. We know that God is perfect and God is loving and his love is overflowing. And God wanted us to be like that. God wanted us to be perfect. God wanted us to be loving. God wanted us to be joyful. God did not create us to be failures. God did not create us to be miserable. God created us to be full of joy and full of love. Now, this service that we celebrate tonight, the Sacrament of Holy Unction, has seven epistles, seven gospels, seven prayers. And I can probably make 21 good sermons out of it, or maybe one really long one, but I won't. If I could summarize this service in just a couple lines, I would take them from the seventh prayer. For you have not created man for destruction, but for the keeping of your commandments and for the inheriting of life incorruptible. And a couple lines before that, in the same prayer, it says, there is no one who lives and does not sin. So we know that every life in this world has some amount of destruction in it. Sadness is destructive. Anger is destructive. Sickness can be destructive, both physically and mentally and spiritually. And so there's no one who has gone through the last year since we last did this service. There's nobody in church tonight that hasn't experienced or partaken of a good degree of destruction, some more than others. And when we are destructive people, in addition to being sad, perhaps angry, perhaps lost, we become estranged. We become separated from God. But God provides a way back. Again, for those who have children, how many people have had children that have angered them? I mean, we all did when they were 2, 3, 4, 5, 15, 25. And sometimes they separated themselves from us. Or maybe we separated ourselves from them. We sent them to time out, and we put ourselves in time out. We said, I need a break, or they need a break. But we always provided a way back to them. We may have taken a toy away from them and put it up on the refrigerator. And we said, now you can be good for a week and then you can earn the toy back. Right? But we never took all the toys away and burned them or threw them away and said, there's no way back now. The toys are forever gone. The food is forever gone. The allowance is forever gone. We always found a way to bring them back. And same with God. If you want to understand the mysteries of God, understand what's going on in your own life. It's very similar to how we relate with God. God provides a way for us to come back. He doesn't want us to be out there estranged. He doesn't want us to be living a sad life, a destructive life. He wants us to live in unity with Him, in love with Him, in communion with Him, in an over sense of abiding love for God and for one another. And so how has He given us the way back? First and foremost, He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ, whose passion and death and resurrection for our salvation, that's what we're going to march through the next few days in our church. He gave us a church. He gave us an institution so that while we're living this life and we're coping with all the destructive things in the world, we have a safe haven to come to. A safe place, a fortress, where we can come and we can put away all the cares of life and be sealed and insulated from them. He gave us sacraments of healing so that when we become destructive, we can wipe the slate clean and we can find healing. And He's given us 3 sacraments for that. We're familiar with Holy Communion. We have that very often here in the church. Some of us are familiar with Holy Confession, and some of us continue to run away from that sacrament for some reason. We feel as maybe we are too bad to be forgiven by God, or maybe we are too embarrassed to own up to what we've done in front of God. But this is a great healing therapy. Come to God to pour out your sins and to accept God's unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness. I write a lot about it. I talk a lot about it. I don't need to give a sermon about that tonight. But if you're one of those people who's listening and says, gosh, I really wish I could wipe my whole slate clean, let's get together after Easter and let's talk about it. But the 3rd healing sacrament we have is this sacrament of Holy Unction. It's not just anointing with oil. It's not just dipping a Q-tip in oil and putting it on your head. It's more than that. It's not anointing your head. It's anointing your prosopo, your countenance. The countenance that becomes dirty and destructive in that awful world we live in. It's like washing that countenance clean with God's healing hand touching you, your head, your hands, your whole person. That's why we come for this service tonight. Now, I said on Sunday that much of what we're doing seems to be a mystery to us, a parable. We go through these motions during Holy Week and the rest of the year, and then we don't even know why we're doing them. But this service, if done right, can be very, very beneficial to us. God has already done His part. We ask Him to send down His Holy Spirit to consecrate this oil that we've offered and allow it to be effective for the healing of our souls and bodies. Allow it to give us control of our passions. Allow it to take away destructive impulses. Allow it to take away sadnesses and grief that we have. God has already done His part, and now it's time for you to do your part. And what is your part? To approach in faith, and to receive the gift that He has provided for us. And in order to receive it the right way, you have to come with a soft heart and an open mind and an open spirit, so that as the oil is placed on your prosopo, it not only sits there, but it sinks into you, and it has some kind of impact on you as you walk out of the church. God has done His part. It's now our turn to do our part. So when you come up to be anointed, bring to mind the things in your life that need healing. Perhaps a relationship that's falling apart, a disappointment that you need to move past, someone you need to reconcile with, perhaps a reconciliation with God, maybe a pledge to do a little bit better with something that you're doing wrong. For those who sit in the church and it's just a ritual, who maybe don't understand God at all, who haven't got on their knees to pray very much in the last year, approach with a promise to do better. Get one of these books. Read through these prayers. They're powerful. They're not just something we should review once a year on Holy Wednesday. They're something that can benefit you every day of your life. Pick up and read. There's 7 prayers in 7 days of the week. You could read one of these prayers every day and ask God to walk with you and to keep away all the destructive and hurtful things in the world, to keep them far away from you. When you come up to be anointed, I will anoint your forehead, your chin, your cheeks, the top and bottom of your hands, and anything else that you need anointed. Just let me know. As we do in our church, we will come up one at a time so that we can have a private moment in prayer. And if there's a quick thing that I can offer in prayer for you, please let me know what that is, and we'll pray right here and right now for it. And ask God to come down on you through this oil tonight to heal that thing that is getting you down. When you come, please say your Orthodox name, even if I know it, because that is also part of your participation in this sacrament. After you're anointed with the oil, I encourage you to sit down again in the pews for a couple minutes, rub the oil on your skin, kneel, say a prayer, ask God to bring His healing on you with this oil, and make a pledge to God to change something as you walk out of the church tonight, so that this sacrament will live on in you well past tonight. Tomorrow there are 2 services here at the church. In the morning we'll celebrate the Divine Liturgy of St. Basil and commemorate the Last Supper and Institution of the Eucharist. We'll begin at 9:30 in the morning. And tomorrow evening is the service of the Passion of the Christ. This is the most powerful service of the liturgical year. If you've never been to this service, you have an opportunity tomorrow to come and see something very, very special. And for those who have been to this service, you know that tomorrow is the most moving, powerful night in an Orthodox church in the church year. So I encourage you to please come to this service and experience the sorrow of the week and see the Lord and appreciate the sacrifice for us, so that when we come back on Saturday evening, we have true joy to experience. And if you can't come for the whole 3.5 hours, this one time only during the year, come at 8 and leave at 9, but come witness the procession of the crucified Christ. May God bless you and keep you. May He bring His healing for all of you. I know many of you in the church. I know many of the things that weigh you down. This is what the church is for. We heard in one of the epistles to bear one another's burdens. It's a joy to bear these burdens with you. And I'm encouraging us to bear the burdens for each other. Of the Anastasia, thank you for sharing your beautiful service. Amen.